Tango Tango Papa 2094, December 24th, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you once again from vacation. So today is Christmas Eve, day before Christmas. So it's about 11:10 a.m. in the morning. I'm going to be leaving here probably a little bit early. I'm going to be driving over about 60 miles over to my youngest brother's house and eating a meal, or I guess it would be a kind of a late lunch. So that takes a good hour to drive, and then plus there's probably going to be extra traffic or whatever. So try to leave a little bit early. So in any case, seems like it's a pretty nice day. The sun's shining. I haven't really checked the temperature. I guess I could do that right now. Let's see here. I didn't know. Well, I didn't want to do that. Let's see here. 64. High today is supposed to be 70. Wow. So, and it looks like it's perfectly sunny. So it's going to be a pretty nice day. So, anyway, let me put that back in my pocket. So, what I wanted to talk about, if you watch the news media, and even if you don't watch the news media, because I certainly don't watch it. I see a few headlines here and there that kind of leak through. And I have to admit that sometimes it's hard to not look at those headlines, because I'm kind of curious about what the headlines are saying. But, I really have to restrain myself from doing that. And it's difficult because, human beings are kind of, you can think of us as sort of information foragers. We're always looking for information. And so it's kind of hard not to do that. But it's really, you really need to kind of cut yourself off from it, because problem, the news media itself is, a lot of it is just absolutely toxic, and I think toxic on purpose. They're trying to get views, they're trying to scare people, and that's the way you do it, where human beings are at least an order of magnitude more sensitive to negative information than we are positive information. And so it is really a problem, and you can really fall into it. Really fall into a problem. So, you have the negative information, and then you have the other problem. You've got all of these, just so many crazy people doing so many crazy things. And the question is, how do you survive that without taking that on yourself? And I've noticed now that even some of the people, the stuff that I watch on YouTube, some of the people that are normally really positive, some of those people now are kind of kind of getting into the negative thing a little bit. And, negative information can help you. I mean, I've used this example before. If you're walking along and you're in your visual field, primates are sort of sensitive to snakes, for example. And you're walking along and you happen to see a snake in your path, that's kind of you need to know about that so you don't step on it. Stay back from it. And, so negative information really, really can help you. If you've got some sort of an immediate problem, and I think that's probably why we are so sensitive to negative information. If there is an immediate problem, you need to know about it. So that, negative information is useful, but then the problem is that the information age in which we live, it sort of ends up becoming a kind of a negative feedback loop. And then everything is negative. And you need, it's like you need more and more negative to top the negative. And that's actually, that's a very bad, situation to sort, or it's a very bad trap to sort of fall into. And so, again, the question is, how do you protect yourself? How do you keep your mind from being just absolutely overwhelmed, absolutely sullied with all of the negative stuff that people are doing around you? And, of course, I like to remind people, I did it in the last podcast, I'll do it again. We have, on my website, I have a, that meditation exercise. And that meditation exercise is actually quite useful. You need to start practicing that if you haven't, and even if you have, I know it's easy for people to not take it seriously or think, well, it doesn't apply to me, or I fall asleep whenever, I try to do it, I just can't do it or whatever. And it's a very simple meditation technique, and the idea is that, it doesn't really require much concentration. The only thing it requires it requires some dedication. Sit in a straight back chair. Kind of put your hands in your lap maybe your right hand down by your side, and close your eyes and bring your attention to the middle of your forehead at the same time while you're bringing your attention to your hand and your right hand. And then you just kind of shift your attention from one finger to the next. And it's, by doing that, it's not like you're just becoming bored, like concentrating on your index finger or whatever. You're kind of moving your attention deliberately from to all your thumb and then all the other fingers, so you're all five fingers. And and if you find that you're kind of getting caught, all of a sudden you get pulled back into a daydream, then you notice that, you simply notice it and then bring your attention back to your hand and, you know, as if you were sort of looking through the middle of your forehead. And do that for, 10 minutes or whatever at a time. And it's very useful to, because you're practicing sort of coming out of your thoughts. So, and that, you know, it may seem simple and you think, well, what good is that going to do? Well, actually it does a lot. We as human beings whatever we have as conscious creatures, the one thing that we do have is a point of awareness. We can really only be aware of one thing at a time. And so being aware of only one thing at a time, then you can, you actually can prove to yourself that you are not your thoughts. People think, well, I'm my thoughts. You know, consciousness is just thoughts. No, it's not. You actually have a point of awareness. You can be aware in the moment. You can stay in the moment. That's where you need to be. You don't want to be in the past, and you don't want to be in the future, and you don't want to, just kind of be trapped in a sort of an endless cycle, like a rat running in a little cage, just a little round cage, squirrel cage. So, or a squirrel running in a squirrel cage. So, because that's where if you're kind of locked in the past and locked in the future, and in this squirrel cage of thoughts that goes around and around and around, what ends up happening? You're just constantly reacting. Overreacting. You're reacting to this and you're reacting to that, and just, he said this and she said that, and they did this, and you just you keep reacting over and over and over to repeating triggers, and that's really not healthy, because you end up with a fight or flight, a physiological reaction, which is a very bad, you're not meant to live in that. Fight or flight, you can go back to the idea you're walking along and you see a snake, so you're either going to fight with the snake, which I would not recommend, or you're going to decide, well, maybe I better steer clear of that snake. That might be a good idea to just steer clear of that snake and, don't bother it. Ignore, kind of get back away from it, and maybe it won't, it won't perceive me as a threat. And, so if you can really practice that meditation and, really learn to kind of pull yourself out of your thoughts, it's very useful. And it also has great physiological benefits. I'm convinced of that. When was it? I guess it was more than, it's been a while. I went on this low carb diet about 3 years ago. It's one of the best things that I've done for myself. Little did I know at the time that it would be, but, I kind of knew that it was, that it was probably a good idea to do it, and I stuck with it. And as I say, it turned out to be, became obvious fairly quickly that it was a really positive thing for me to be doing. And in hindsight, it was very, it's just one of the best things I've done. So, you know, but I did that diet and I've stuck with it. And I've really benefited from it tremendously. You know, over the first year, I lost I lost about 35 to roughly 35 to 40 pounds. You know, it would kind of vary because my weight would sort of vary. And now my weight pretty much stays around 150. I think I weighed this morning and I weighed 147. And I really haven't been, I've been eating some pretty high calorie meals, but I just stay away from the carbohydrates. So, you know, and the diet has had a major effect, because your diet does affect the body. And, but, you know, the point that I was going to make was that not long after I went on the low-carb diet and I began to see the benefits, and I realized, well, because I'd watched all these videos and they started talking about a CAC scan, a CAC score. And, I'd lived, years and years eating all the carbohydrates. You know, I wasn't as bad as some people, but, I ate my fair share, no question about it. So I decided, it would be a good idea to get a CAC scan and see just where I stood as far as, because if you're not familiar with the CAC scan or score, they do it with a CAT scanner. And so I drove over to this place in Tulsa, and they did the scan. And, now the way it works, they do the scan, and then they someone, a radiologist, or, that is an expert with this, is able to look at the scan results, and then they sort of rate the calcium deposits that would be showing up in potentially showing up in your cardiovascular system, and then they rate it sort of based on your age. And the shocking thing, I had no clue what to expect. Zero clue what to expect. I could have had any sort of score, and I really, really didn't know, but I thought it would be useful to know that. And as it turns out, my score was zero, which really surprised me, because I haven't lived the cleanest life, and the score was zero. Why was it zero? Well, you could say, well, you've got great genetics, but I don't know that my genetics are any particularly that great. I think the difference was that I've been practicing, I started practicing this meditation technique that I'm talking about many years ago, quite a number of years ago. And so I believe that's been the big benefit, because, as you know, you talk about mind over matter. You have mind, spirit, and body. And I think that your mind can actually overcome a lot. You know, even though what you eat has a profound effect, nonetheless, your attitude, and whether or not you're in the fight or flight mode very much, you stay out of that. You don't want, we're not meant to live in that constantly, because that's very detrimental. And so for many years, even though I was eating the wrong diet, eating the wrong things, I was mentally most of that time, particularly after I got serious about meditating, I believe that that overcame the bad diet. It, because I wasn't having the fight, you know, for one thing, I wasn't living in fight or flight. And, but there are people, you know, again, we go back to the negative news, and it's easy to end up in the fight or flight. And then there are people that are actually deliberately trying to throw the general population into fight or flight, keep them in fight or flight, because if they can keep you in fear, if people, you know, the people that are really deliberately doing this, if they can keep you in fear, or if anybody can keep you in a state of fear, it could be a, you know, not only these mysterious people that are trying to take over the world, but, you know, in a sense, everyone wants, you know, they always say, well, I'm going to take over the world. You know, I want to rule the world. And people always make a joke about that. Well, the people around you, your relatives are probably doing it. They may not, they probably don't even realize it, but they're doing it. And, you know, you have, you know, parents try to manipulate their kids constantly. You know, I think most families, you know, let's be honest, they're probably like, you know, the people, they may smile and look a certain way to the outside world, but it's like a miniature gulag, concentration camp. And I think most families would probably fall into that category. You know, they're miserable places. And what ends up happening, you know, if you have resentment, we go back to resentment. If you have resentment, the flip side of resentment ends up being fear. And so if you have resentment, you're separated from your conscience. You're separated, therefore you're separated from your natural identity, who you could have been otherwise. You're separated from that. And in that state, then you are immediately subject to the outside world. You think resentment is some sort of protection, and I understand, I really do understand how that works, because I did it myself. But you think that, you just kind of naturally think, well, if I resent, then I can hurt these other people. Well, it's exactly the opposite. It's the exact opposite is true. You resent, what ends up happening is that you've let down the drawbridge. You've allowed the drawbridge to drop, and you begin absorbing your environment. You become subject to your environment. You begin to react to your environment, and you end up being pushed into the fight or flight, and you're living in that fight or flight. And that has very, very detrimental impacts on your body, you know, and your mind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very unpleasant place to be. So the idea is that you have to start. What you want to do is start by understanding what resentment is, playing God in your own mind, hurling the mental thunderbolts. If you can understand what resentment is, and that you probably, you know, and there's about a 99.9999999% chance that you resent your parents. And you may say, well, I don't resent my parents. Well, you do. You know, I said the same thing. And then I was able to admit to myself, yes, I did resent my parents. You know, and whether it was justified or not, they did the best they could with what they had, and you know, with how they had been raised, et cetera, et cetera. And so, regardless, it was up to me to stop resenting them. Is that, you know, what chance did they have with their own parents? You know, every family's dysfunctional to varying degrees. So what chance did they have? So therefore, it sort of behooved me to just let it go. It's called maturity. Just drop it, you know? Yeah, all of our parents failed us. You know, I've talked about this before. Kids come into the world. We come into this world as children with expectations. We're coming into this world and we sort of expect our parents are going to teach us all the right things and show us how to, we have the very, you know, the highest expectations. We expect those parents to you know, to kind of teach us to how not to live in the fight or flight. You know, keep us out, you know, from running across the road, that type of thing. And it's, you know, so it really is up to the parents, you know, to do that. And then the problem is, well, if the parents fail, they fail to live up to it, then or they do the parenting thing, but they do it sort of resentfully, and they trick you into resenting. And of course we come with this proclivity to resent, because these human beings have this proclivity to want to play God in our own minds. So it becomes a vicious cycle. And so but the point is, we need to, you know, you want to get better. You want to be able to live in the world and not be of it, not become what you hate, because we do become what we hate. And that's a fact. If you honestly examine yourself, you'll find that you became what you hated. And if you have kids, you've ended up pushing that off on them, whether you wanted to or not. And you know, you got to give up the resentment. And that's not, you know, the meditation technique that I'm talking about will help you get to the point of, you know, kind of, you know, where you can be objective. However, you know, once you're at that point and you're calm and you stop reacting, then you can kind of, the past will sort of present itself to you and your past failures. And the reason that we remember these past failures is not so that, you know, our conscience can just endlessly torment us with it, but it's better to think of it this way, that, you know, your conscience brings something up and you think of something and that you did wrong at some point. And the reason it does that is so that you can kind of examine the situation. How did this happen? Why did this happen? What was my part in it? What iniquities did I have? What part did I play? What part of the situation did I fail in, or what parts? What are my failures? How do I overcome this? How do I not do this again? Not repeat this. That's why these things come up. That's why your conscience brings them up, or your consciousness brings them up, and so that's why they come into your consciousness. So. But it's important, the meditation is very important in order to help you get into an objective state where you're calm and you're not in the fight or flight anymore. You're very calm, and then something comes up, you know, some thought comes into your head and you realize, uh-oh, you know, I blew it there. And then you just, instead of running away or trying to run into distraction, you sort of, you know, maybe you're grateful that your conscience is showing you. And you should be grateful. You should be grateful that your conscience is showing you, because then you can, if you handle it properly then, if you deal with it properly then and there, as just, you know, previously described, you know, kind of examine it, examine what you did wrong, and et cetera, et cetera, then you can not repeat it. If you handle it properly, you just deal with it once and it's done. You don't have to repeat it. Great, you know, and then move on to the next thing, because there's always a next thing. But it's important to get the right attitude. It's important to stay in the right frame of mind. It's important to get out of the fight or flight, because otherwise every time, you know, and it happens anyway, your conscience is always bringing things up, and you're constantly reacting to it. Then you've got fight or flight. That's part of the thing, that your attitude is causing you to be locked into the fight or flight. So you need to give up the resentment. You know, I've given this example many times, but let's say that we're going to do an experiment, and you agree that you're going to do the experiment with me. And so as part of the experiment, I walk up to you and I slap your face. Now, you agreed that, you know, I could slap your, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to slap your face. And so I slap your face. You knew that it was going to happen. You agreed to it. You feel the pain of it on your face. But there's no resentment, because you knew that it was going to happen. The knowledge that you knew that it was going to happen ahead of time sort of modified it. Okay? So if you can have, you know that it's coming, then it prevents the resentment reaction from happening. Well, if someone just walks up to you and just slaps you in the face, let's say you're walking down the street and they just slap you in the face, you're going to feel the physical pain of it, but there's something else. And that something else, if you can kind of isolate that in your mind and your thoughts, that something else is resentment. You know, kind of like in your mind, in that split second, as if you could just strike that person dead with your thoughts. That's one way of thinking about it. So what you have to realize is that these situations are going to come along. There could be any number of triggers. It could be anything. You could, you know, trip over the cat if you've got a cat, or you could, you know, drop something, or you know, somebody says something, or you know, looks at you the wrong way, and then you react to that. You just have to understand that these triggers are always going to be out there. And that they're coming, you know they're coming, and so therefore, that's the modifying knowledge. You know it's coming. You just realize, hey, this is on the way. And so, that's the modifying knowledge. So then, you know, whatever it is that happens, you drop the glass of milk on the floor and it shatters and you created a mess. Oh, well, you knew that was going to happen, or something like that was going to happen. A resentment triggering event would happen, and no big deal. Clean up the mess. You know, there's that old saying about don't cry over spilled milk. So, but it's very helpful to be in a state of awareness, where you've developed a state of awareness where you're able to remain as much as possible in the current moment. And in that current moment, it's as if you've got this protective shell around you, and that the resentment can't penetrate, and that the resentment is how you lose control of, or how control is lost of what your identity is made out of, what goes on in your mind. That's how you lose control. That's how the world gets in. That's how that activates the fight or flight. And so it's very important to, the meditation exercise is extremely important in order for you to be able to develop the right attitude. So I'm going to try this again with the browser, and not sure how this is going to work, but let's see if we can do this. So let's see. I'm going to say browser. Well, wait a minute. Do I want to do that? Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm still learning the software. It's called Open Broadcaster, OBS. It's a pretty good piece of software, but it's very, actually very complicated. So we're going to say display capture, and I don't know what's going to happen when I click that. Ah, there we go. Okay, so you're seeing sort of like a hall of mirrors. I think, oh, wait a minute, yeah. Yeah, you're sort of seeing a hall of mirrors, kind of, I don't know. Not really. Well, so let's see what happens when I click that, and let's see if that, yeah, there we go. Can't quite see what, so I'm going to just, can't quite tell what it's, let's do this. Okay, what I want to do is move. Whoops, should I have done that? No, I think I just made a mistake. Let's see. No, okay. Yeah, let's see what I've done here. Let's see here. Okay, so why do I have this? Oh, yeah, that is kind of a hall of mirrors. Okay. All right, so hopefully this is going to work. I can't really... Yeah, there we go. All right, this blocking my view, so I can't really see what the output is, but I think it should be... Okay, but so you see right here, I don't know if you can see my mouse cursor, but it's, this is a live browser. So I'm going to click on video and meditation exercise up here at the top. And so then you see, of course, this is truckertompodcast.com and then /video. And so you've got the... we've got these links here, and so we've got the YouTube video link. That's why it said video. And then we have the meditation exercise, and then introduction, exercise, and discussion. And these are actually, these are actually MP3 files. And so you should be able to right click and then. Open it in a new tab. And then once you've opened it, and you should be able to, I think if you click on Save Link As, let's see what happens. Okay, then it pops up. Yeah, then you can actually save these, and I suggest you do that. Save these MP3 files. See, it says O2. If it's showing up on the screen right, it says O2_exercise.mp3. You can save these to your device. So, but that's where it's at, and so there you go. So that's, but that's TruckerTomPodcast.com, and then video and meditation exercises. Click on that. And then you have the, you know, you've got these links right here. So, but I would highly suggest doing that, because otherwise, let's get rid of this. There we go. So I would highly suggest doing that because, you know, you think things are crazy now. I really think that they're probably going to get crazier. I think we're in a massively negative, as a society, as a world, we're in a massively negative feedback loop. And it's likely going to get worse. And so, you know, let's use this as an opportunity. Instead of whining and moaning and groaning about it, why not use it as an opportunity to learn to become immune from it? And then, because the thing is, if you were immune from it, if you could learn to become immune from all this negative stuff, then it doesn't matter, you know. And if enough people could learn to become immune from it, it would all simply go away, because it would lose its effectiveness. It would end up losing its effectiveness if you could just 100% learn to live in the moment. Learn to not be subject to outside influences. And that's really where you want to be. You want to be able to sleep at night. You don't want to have to lay there awake and worry about this and worry about that. Worry that, you know, you're going to catch this or catch that. God knows whatever else. You know, even in the face of real danger, what good does it do to worry? You know, I face real, you know, in my job, and just in life in general, you face a certain level of danger. But certainly in my job, I face probably a great deal of danger constantly, hours and hours and hours a day. I face a danger as I drive down the road, a fairly high level of danger, and doesn't bother me a bit. I realize that it's dangerous, you know, but I'm not living in constant fear. You don't want to live in constant fear. That's an incredibly unhealthy place to be. You know, someone can make you fearful and then get you to volunteer to do stupid things that you ordinarily wouldn't do. They own you. You're their slave. And you may think, oh, I'm voluntarily doing it. No, you're not. If you're acting out of fear, any time you're acting out of fear, you are a slave. Whether you want to be or not, whether you want to admit it or not, it's best just to, you know, see it. Then you can admit it. And then if you can really admit it, your behavior actually can change. So, anyway, that's there. It's on my website, TruckerTomPodcast.com. Click on the video and meditation link. Give it a try. I can't promise it'll help everybody, but I do believe that it will help most people. And if you find that it helps you, which it probably will, it's up to you to continue it. You really need to keep, you know, because this is getting more and more critical as time goes on, because the world is just becoming increasingly insane. And you need to be able to live in the world, be able to interact with it, be a calming influence, in fact, but not, you know, and the only way you can be a calming influence is to not be of it. Because if you're of it, what good is that? So, anyhow, I'm going to bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.